Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. First, a programming note. Before Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake shook up Baltimore government and politics with her announcement that she would not seek re-election, she had agreed to sit down with us for most of our show this coming Friday. She still plans to come to WIPR, and we'd like to hear what you'd like her to address. What has she not been asked that you think is important? You can call our Google Voice line at 410-881-3162 with your ideas, or send an email to mdmorning@wypr.org. Again, the phone number is 410-881-3162. You can also tweet at us. Our handle is @MarylandMorning. And now, today's story, one of the mayor's priorities, setting up a bike share program. Baltimore is trying to catch up with quite a few big eastern cities with expansive systems that let people borrow a bike for a small fee and return it to the same spot or another station. Washington, D.C. was one of the first bike share programs 5 years ago. Since then, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh all have built robust bike shares. Last week, Mayor Rawlings-Blake said the city is seeking a vendor to supply 250 bikes and 25 bike share stations in Charm City. Liz Cornish, executive director of Bike More, a nonprofit that advocates for making Baltimore more bike friendly, is here to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And also here is John Laria. His day job is as a lawyer, but he also chairs the Mayor's Bicycle Advisory Commission. Welcome.
Hello.
John Laria, 250 bikes is small. It's about one-tenth of the number of bikes in D.C.'s bike share program. Can a bike share be implemented piecemeal, or is it really more something that ought to be go big or go home?
Well, we need to start somewhere, and 250 bikes at about 25 stations is a good place to start. I know people have said we should have a bigger program, and someday I suspect we will, but those bikes are really intended to be spread across east to west in the downtown core, stretching up to maybe Penn Station, including the Hopkins Medical Institutions in East Baltimore, going from the Biopark on the west side to Canton on the east side, and perhaps up to Hopkins University, although that starts to become a little bit of a stretch for how people use a bike share program. But I think it's a good place to start. And frankly, it's really cost driven. And if we have additional resources, as we hope to have, we'll expand as quickly as we possibly can.
Liz Cornish, I want to talk about the relation, if there is any, between the planned bike share program and the city's network of dedicated bike lanes. How many bike lanes does Baltimore have?
Well, right now we have about 100 miles of bike lanes, and then the Downtown Bicycle Network will add significantly more once it's implemented. Of particular note is the Maryland Avenue Protected Bicycle Lane, which will be a 2.6-mile facility. It'll begin at 29th Street and terminate at Light Street. That'll be the largest protected facility in the city once that's constructed in the spring of 2016. In terms of how bike share relates to that, from an advocacy perspective, we really like bike share because there's really nothing better to promote the urgency of creating a bicycle network than getting new riders on comfortable, easy-to-use bicycles and having the increase of ridership kind of raise awareness that there are people on the road and they need to be accommodated. That being said, you really have to take a two-pronged approach as a city. So I think the timing of the implementation of bike share is good. And so we'll hopefully see the implementation of this program spur the expediency of the creation of additional bicycle facilities.
Sheila, if I might, I think the great thing about both bike share and the protected bike lanes is not only do they do the things they do independently, but they also provide probably the most visible manifestation of a city's commitment to biking. Because regular bike lanes are terrific, and we need many more of them. But they're not quite as visible as a truly protected bike lane as you see in D.C. and other cities that are making great progress on this. That plus bike share. When you travel and you hear people come back and they say, boy, that city really had a lot of bike stuff going on, what they often mean is a lot of protected bike lanes and a robust bike share program. So to me, those are two very important things. And by the way, Liz is being a little generous when she says 100 miles of bike lanes. We do have lots of miles of bike lanes, but unfortunately, They're choppier than we want them to be. They are in different. They're not always where you want them to be, and to get you to go where you want to go. So we're working on improving the network overall. But the protected bike lane, and particularly the lane on Maryland Avenue from 29th Street to Pratt Street, which is basically a big north-south commuter route, will be a very visible manifestation and a very, very practical place for people to be able to ride their bicycles, both for work and for leisure.
That's John Laria, chair of the Mayor's Bicycle Advisory Commission here on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Liz Cornish, executive director of Bike More, an advocacy group dedicated to making Baltimore a more bike-friendly city. We're talking about plans for a bike share program in Baltimore. I want to listen to a clip from Mayor Rawlings Blake.
The implementation of a successful bike share system will be a boost to our city's transportation network, and it will continue to boost economic development in Baltimore City.
Will 250 bikes really accomplish that?
So that's a really interesting question. So bike share success isn't necessarily tied to the size of the system, but the density of the system. So bike share use is really driven on how readily available are they from the moment I walk out of my front door to how readily available are they at wherever destination I choose to arrive to. So the siting of the stations is going to be critical in the beginning to sort of show that this system is successful, and then that would hopefully drive future investment to create additional stations. So we've seen this start small approach work okay in other cities. Boston is a great example. They started in the Boston Common area and then were able to sort of radiate out. But in terms of 250 bikes actually making a dent in the transportation needs that the city has currently, we don't think that 250 bikes is sufficient.
How do you see it?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be with the mayor at that announcement, and I think the mayor was really talking more generally about bike share as part of a larger bike program. The city just adopted a brand new bike master plan in March. The commission that I chair was created around the same time. So I think the mayor is recognizing what we've been preaching, Liz and I and others, which is that a cycling culture, a bike friendliness, is essential to economic development in a modern American city. It's essential to the attraction of millennials and others. It's essential to retention. And companies all across the city are telling us that their employees want it and we need to provide it to them. So that's really the broader context in which all of this sits. It's not bike share. It's bike share ratcheting up bike lanes, which reflect back and create more opportunities for bike share. And it's sort of a rising tide lifting all bikes.
One of the things the mayor mentioned is opportunities for sponsors, for revenue to come, I guess, to the bike share program. I mean, are there profits to be made here?
Well, the city is putting out a request for a sponsorship company. One of the reasons that bike share has not succeeded in the past in Baltimore, really not the fault of the city, but the fault of the market, which continues to evolve. But one of the flaws has been the need to have some sponsorship for the program. For the first time, the city is seeking a company that whose sole job would be to identify sponsors of stations, ideally a sponsor of the entire system. As you know, in other cities, these systems are sometimes named for a large corporate sponsor. If we're fortunate, we might get someone like that. So that's really the opportunity that's there for us. And I think the approach of having a professional company, which of course is going to be compensated in some way for the work that it does, is really the way to do it.
Well, first I want to go back to the transportation costs, because I think that's really interesting to me. So when you talk about the cost of bike share and especially corporate sponsorship. So one of the things as advocates that we're really wanting to make sure that we get across is that if a bike share system is part of this greater transportation network and amenities that we provide our citizens and our tourists that visit here in Baltimore, we have to really create a metric of success so that we can really understand, is it financially successful? And when you look at traditionally how state and local municipalities pay for transportation, it's heavily subsidized. So you're looking at how much does it cost to actually drive a vehicle, and does that cover the cost to maintain the roads that they use? You're looking at 30% from fees, and that's pretty much the same for transit as well. So we know that we subsidize transit because overall, or transportation in general, because overall it's better for the greater good. We like getting people from A to B. We think it's important. So in terms of deciding whether or not bike share has the potential to be financially successful or is the initial investment sufficient, I think we also have to really look at what are the metrics at which we're going to measure that financial success of that program, and are we going to hold them to the same standard that we do other forms of transportation? And so when you talk about corporate sponsorship, while corporate sponsorship I think is great because it creates buy-in, it creates enthusiasm for the program, we have to be careful that we're not setting up a bike share system to somehow be successful in a climate that we don't ask other forms of transportation to be successful in. And so that's just something to consider.
One last thing. Helmets. Will people rent helmets along with their bikes, or do they have to bring their own?
Helmets are not required in the state of Maryland. And as a result, we would expect bike share system might provide it as an option, but it's not required. And as a practical matter, many people, particularly if they're going from a business meeting to another business meeting or something like that, won't wear them. Now, it's not Maryland law, but of course, we all recommend it. I ride a helmet. I wear a helmet when I ride my bike. I imagine that Liz does as well. We'll certainly be encouraging safety in all sorts of ways, but I don't think there's going to be any mandatory helmet use. There'll be perhaps ways to make them available for people who want them as an option.
I think the best thing that bike share does for bicycling is it puts people in an upright position on a heavy bike traveling at low speeds. And so this vision of everyday bicycling really starts to bring this idea that this is a solution that not only has the benefits that John outlined, but we're looking at reducing car trips, we're looking at improved congestion or reduced congestion through traffic, we're looking at improved air quality, we're looking at improved public health. So the first year that you start bike commuting, you lose an average of 10 pounds. So this is the sort of thing, the economic benefit or the return on investment, if you will, that increasing the number of bike users in Baltimore can really bring to the city. And I think if you get bogged down in arguments like helmet or no helmet, you really start to miss the bigger picture, which is more people on bikes equals a healthier, more economically vibrant, safer city. And I think that's what we're all interested in investing in.
I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Liz Cornish is executive director of Bike More, an advocacy group dedicated to making Baltimore more bike friendly. John Laria, by day, he's a lawyer at Ballard Spahr, but takes on another role as chair of the Mayor's Bicycle Advisory Commission. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning. Author Dee Watkins on growing up in East Baltimore. Stay with us on 88.1.